WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's taxing and spending document for the next 2 years is now the law. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Governor Evers signed the $99 billion state budget Wednesday. He made 51 partial vetoes. Most notably, he took a $3.5 billion Republican tax cut and made it $175 million instead. Wisconsin goes back to four income tax brackets, and Evers is directing most of the tax relief to the bottom two.
It's my belief that the middle class in the state of Wisconsin is where we should be supporting those cuts in the most efficient way possible.
The governor is also restoring University of Wisconsin diversity offices. He rejects Republican claims that DEI is divisive.
Any large company in the state of Wisconsin has DEI efforts so that they can get enough people to do the work for them. And suddenly we're going to say this is a divisive thing? Give me a break.
Evers' vetoes also direct more money for K-12 education and lifts a Republican ban on transgender medical care. Republicans don't have enough votes to override Evers' veto unless a handful of Democrats cross party lines. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells the Journal Sentinel the governor stole Republican ideas, then returned to his true liberal ideology. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
A violent 4th of July weekend is over in Milwaukee. Police say 22 people were shot between Saturday and yesterday. Two teenagers were killed. And divers today found the bodies of three swimmers who went under in the Mississippi River on Monday near Stillwater, Minnesota. Today is the last day to register your opinion on long-term federal vehicle emission standards. More from Suzanne Potter.
The new rules would phase in clean car standards to medium and light duty vehicles starting in model year 2027. The idea is to clean up tailpipe emissions and speed the transition to zero emission vehicles. Actor and conservation activist Ed Begley Jr. took part in the Route Zero Relay, which drove electric vehicles across the country to raise awareness among consumers.
With the infrastructure bill, there's going to be much more robust fast charging, and I think that's going to make a lot of difference in people's decision making so that they decide to go for electric.
EPA data show that the transportation sector accounts for 27% of greenhouse gas emissions. I'm Suzanne Potter.
It's raining in much of Wisconsin, and that could bring some relief from ozone pollution and drought, but severe storms could bring damaging wind and hail to the southeast. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. Waukesha and Milwaukee are on the edge of a severe weather risk today, with a cold front bringing widespread and organized storms. Severe weather's likelier for later in the day, with temperatures dropping to the mid to upper 70s for the rest of the week. One brother is dead. The other is accused of driving drunk and causing the death of his sibling. Melissa Kay has more about the sad story.
An 18-year-old from Mequon may face homicide charges following a drunk driving accident that resulted in the death of his 15-year-old brother. According to police, John Bensky was under the influence of alcohol when his vehicle collided with a tree in Mequon around 2 a.m. on Sunday. Authorities say Bensky took off from the scene in an attempt to seek assistance and that his blood alcohol content was nearly three times the legal limit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens from American Family Field, where it's game three between the Cubs and the Brewers. First, some breaking Bucks news. Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo recently underwent a cleanup procedure in his left knee. This according to ESPN. His status is uncertain for the FIBA World Cup next month. After feeling lingering knee discomfort since the start of the offseason, Giannis and the Bucks decided surgery was necessary. He has represented Greece in the offseason, playing for the national team both last summer at Eurobasket and again in the 2019 World Cup. He's not been ruled out of this year's World Cup, which begins August 25th in the Philippines. The Bucks training camp opens in September. Giannis, 28 years old, missed four games in November and another five straight games in January with the same soreness in the left knee. Turning to baseball, the Brewers losing to the Cubs in extra innings 7-6 yesterday. There's been some criticism that perhaps Craig Counsell and the Brewers were too aggressive in their base running in extra innings, getting thrown out by Ian Happ in left field. Owen Miller was tagged out at the plate for the final out of last night's game.
Yeah, I mean, I think in any team you play on, you want to be an aggressive base running team and you want to make them, the guys, throw you out. And I think that is kind of our perspective on you know, stealing bases. And it's baseball, you know, sometimes it doesn't fall your way.
And we told you that even though the Cubs won the game, manager David Ross was complaining about the umpires, missed strike calls, and questioned why the roof at American Family Field was being closed while the game was in progress.
I know it's not an easy job, but there's some of the pitches that got called today just weren't even close. And so it's got to be better, you know. They're closing the roof to get rid of the shadows late. There's a lot of bullshit that went on today that just was really frustrating.
Are they allowed to do that during the
game? I thought it was horseshit, dude. I don't know.
That rant now going viral. Roof will be closed tonight. Heavy rain showers in Milwaukee. Left-hander Justin Steele for Chicago against the Brewers right-hander Adrian Hauser. First pitch at 7:10. That's sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happy July 5th hangover edition. Our fine guest, he's hanging over as well. He is Scott Ross. He's a Gemini. He's a firebrand. He's a friend of ours. Scott, appreciate you sticking around. You know, the political circus coming to our backyard soon. We've got a Republican presidential debate. And I'm not sure if Donald Trump's going to attend. And the most recent polling, second place now amongst the Republican field, Ron DeSantis down at 16%. So if Trump doesn't show, your first place competitor on the stage at the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee will be Ron DeSantis at 16%.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is a guy who can make Scott Walker seem like he's oozing with charisma.
Scott Walker and Ron DeSantis are like the same human being. DeSantis just has a better education and better hair.
And he doesn't jog.
DeSantis?
Yeah.
No yogging.
DeSantis is a guy.
No food picks. No food picks, no yogging.
Well, pudding. It's mostly because he eats pudding with his fingers,
oh,
I understand.
Man, come on.
I think the staff have learned, don't let the boss put up Instagram photos eating. Never stop Scott Walker, though. Ham and cheese
ham
all the
sandwiches,
way, baby.
That's right. Every day.
Mm-hmm. Scott Ross, what do you think the future of our nation is? I mean, these Republicans, you can look, it's like a clown show. It's like a car crash, but that's the other party. That's one of two. We don't really have a lot of viable alternatives. Scott, what do you think the next year holds? Because obviously we're turning to a presidential. We've got lots of U.S. Senate races, and we've got a U.S. Supreme Court that's been, let's just say, very activist. So how's it all going to shake out? Give us all the perfect predictions for 2024.
Got it. In 2024, I will predict that both Joe Biden and Tammy Baldwin win the state of Wisconsin.
I concur, sir.
Thank you. And then beyond that, you know, again, this is going to be as ugly as 2016 and 2020 were. You know, 2024 is going to be even more ugly. There is a decided a decided want by elements of the Republican Party to try and make people say there's no point to participating in this democracy. Just give up, Youngs. What's the point? And you see, you know, we just had an election in which, you know, really, you know, I don't, Gen Z, you know, the much, much Youngs went out and utilized communication vehicles to talk about abortion and get people to feel it was absolutely essential for them to get to the polls. So what are Republicans doing now? Mike Gallagher up there trying to kill TikTok, you know, with his committee. That's what the Republicans are trying to do. And I'm sad because I hear, again, you know, when it comes to data mining and algorithms, you know, TikTok's terrible. Facebook is worse. Twitter might be the all-time worst. But like, what? But it just shows that the Republicans immediately after the election focused on the one that Democrats used in order to organize young people and win elections.
Well, Cleta Mitchell, I mean, literally saying, oh, you know, these kids these days, they roll out of the dorm room, they roll downstairs, they go vote. It's just too easy for them.
Yep.
It's too easy, yes. Scott.
Yeah, the Bradley Foundation's Cleta Mitchell. Like, here's one thing I don't understand. Like, you know, Dems have a lot of organizing capacity. There's a lot of people who can go knock on doors for weeks and weeks at a time. I don't understand why we never have any protests out in front of places like, you know, over in Milwaukee, like the Bradley Foundation, which is the sugar daddy of like all hateful Republican racist causes out there, you know, in a place like Will, which is the, you know, Jim Crow law firm that's trying to like, you know, make sure that trans kids are bullied into suicide. So like, I don't, you know, so I'd like to see a little bit more in your face stuff going on in terms of like reminding people who these bad actors are. And like you say, Cleta Mitchell, nobody knows who she is, but she is literally out there fighting to create new laws to prevent young people from voting. But we saw this in Wisconsin, like in 2011, when, you know, one of Walker's first things was the voter, you know, the attacks on voter rights, including not allowing student IDs to be usable, regular student IDs to be usable as proof of residency. Like, why am I, you know, why am I living down the street from Eau Claire campus if I grew up in, you know, whatever, Iowa, if not because I live there and because I want to vote and stuff like that? You know, like, just, again, it's that thing of, when you look at it, and I hope that the lawyers who are going to challenge a lot of these voter attacks that have that still are on the books here in Wisconsin are going to remember that besides disqualifying for people from voting, the second thing is, and this goes back to William Rehnquist in the 1960s, was they create long lines in cities and on campuses so those democratically inclined voters go home instead of casting their ballot. It's a form of suppression like that, and they've been doing it for 60 years.
And Scott Ross, I know you've traveled extensively of late, but Bob Spindell, a Wisconsin elections commissioner, was bragging about the suppression in the midterms. Ron Johnson won re-election. I think it was 36,000-37,000 votes, something like that. Well, they were bragging. He was specifically bragging about suppressing that many Black and Latino votes in Milwaukee. And this guy's an elections commissioner and a false Trump elector, but that's a different story.
Yeah, and I'd like to see him. I'd like to see that prosecuted.
Yes,
you know, I see it in other states. We need to prosecute the fake electors because they were trying to overturn democracy. They were treasonous, and there has to be some way in which they can be held accountable. And Bob Spindell, who has been a garbage person since his days on the Milwaukee Election Commission, so, you know, because before he was, you know, tapped by the Republicans to suppress votes on a statewide level, he was tasked with trying to suppress votes in Milwaukee. This is a guy who hates voters. He hates Black people. You know, he's just a disgusting, repellent human being. And like, that would be, if you think about the worst person affiliated in government who is not an elected official, it might be Bob Spindell.
I hate your lack of candor.
Yeah, folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Scott Ross, firebrand, Gemini, friend of the Devils, sticking around. We always appreciate talking to Scott. All right, so let's talk about the national here for a moment and this fake elector scheme. Apparently, Jack Smith seems to be looking into that. We know also Fawny Willis from Fulton County, Georgia, also looking into this. Are you satisfied that we're going to get some sort of, I don't know, consequence to these false electors, at least on the federal level? Because here in the state of Wisconsin, we've seen nothing.
No, I'm concerned that we won't. I don't think the head of the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, has been as aggressive, I think, in terms of like holding people accountable. You know, when it comes to rich white Republicans, you know, they're at the back of the line when it comes to being held accountable. You know, it's very clear that they were, you know, that they were committing crimes, treasonous crimes. And I don't think any of the, you know, none of the Congress people who were in contact with the terrorist insurrectionists, you know, like Derek Van Orten before he went to Congress, you know, the fact that they, you know,
jeez.
I mean, You know, things like that. Like, I don't see it. It's been, what, 3 years?
It's 2021? Been, yeah, right.
You know what I mean? When elected officials were the ones who were helping drive this, like, the texts show it. Why is nothing being done about them? Yes, I think that, like, Cletus, who, you know, hit a cop with a flagpole, you know, should be in prison for their participation. But there are higher ups, and they are currently not being held accountable by the federal government.
Not as of yet, as we've seen.
Not as of yet, but, like, you just know how it is. Like, you know, Joe Biden's a cagey politician. He's obviously experienced. He's been in there since, you know, 1973 when, you know, which was only 4 years after the last time a Democrat, there was a Democratic majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, think about that. You and I weren't born yet. And you know, like, the last time we had it, and yet we start talking about tempering that down at the top because we don't want it to be a campaign issue. Like, there is nothing. The Republicans have used the courts to galvanize themselves since back during impeach Earl Warren. And why we would leave that on the table as Democrats, why the president of the United States would try and pretend that this is routine. That this is normal, I think is obscene. There needs to be reforms. The courts have been rigged by the Republicans. We can say 18 different ways of it. You know, again, starting with how is it that since 1969 May, that was the last time a Democratic majority was on the U.S. Supreme Court. That's obscene. We've only had three presidents since that time who were elected the first time for Republicans by winning the popular vote. If that's not a crime against democracy, I don't know what is.
Scott, do you think that let's call it the activism of the current court, do you think it will drive the electorate? I certainly know the abortion issue has driven the electorate here in Wisconsin. Well, of course, abortion is illegal here, but a lot of these rulings have ramifications all across the country. Things like the throwing out of affirmative action, the offsetting Biden's proposed student loan debt relief. These things will have more than small ripples. Do you think they'll have big enough ripples to start turning the electorate against this Republican Party?
It is up to the elected Democrats to ensure that is the case. And they must do that by using their voice in order to channel that rage. Because if you let things go away, they go away. I mean, how many, like, I just want you to, like, think about in the last, like, 4 years, the stories that Democrats have somehow allowed to be one-day stories. You know, these crazy, insane things, which in the past would have had people, you know, a dozen people thrown out of office over it that day. You know, and we let this. I think that Democrats need to be much more aggressive in terms of engaging the press. You know, press relations isn't about, hey, you didn't put my boss's right quote in. It's about, here's why the Republicans are destroying our republic and our economy, and we need to do something about it. And I think that has to happen a lot more. And I think, you know, it's something I saw when I was, you know, working in comms, where I didn't feel it was happening. I don't think it's gotten a lot better. And I think that, you know, the news business is a competition, and you've got to be willing to get in there and do it, and using all the available resources to do it, including buying radio advertising.
Yes, I concur, sir. So, what's next for Scott Ross?
I'm going to have dinner at some point. I'm trying to take off a little bit of weight I've put on since I came back to the United States, in particular here in Wisconsin, just, you know, ride my bike, hang out. Talk some smack once in a while when I'm invited on fine programs like yours.
We love it when you talk some smack, Scott.
Just try and enjoy things.
Dominic cannot be the only ugly American around here.
Exactly.
And you guys share a birthday.
I know, man. You are one cool dude, man. I got to tell you.
As well.
We're all Geminis around here. Scott Ross, thanks for coming around, man. Next time, be punctual.
I will.
More Devil's Advocates, always on time for something. Your calls could be next. Dial them, 844-967-2789. Turning the topic to cocaine. It's a hell of a drug.
Back in the USSR.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Cruz. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 63. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs around 76. Tomorrow, more clouds than sun. Lows level off around 54. Tomorrow night, mainly clear. Upper 70s Friday and Saturday, with a chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are always open for you at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we understood over the weekend there was breaking news out of D.C. There was a white powder found at the White House, and it was tested, and it came back positive for cocaine. And, of course, the entire right, you know, right-wing talk radio, everyone from Donald Trump to the Fox News contributors, they're all pointing the finger at Hunter Biden, of course.
Come on.
And why Don Jr. yeah. has not come under any scrutiny, probably because, you know, if it was Don Jr.'s,
he'd have gone
back for it.
Right.
But there is a...
He'd have been like Bobby Brown picking it up off the dance floor, man.
We don't know who left the cocaine, but they have found the cocaine. And this apparently is where you go to, when you go to visit the White House. I've not ever been invited, you know. After I win a national championship, I suspect I will be. But you go to the White House and you go through the security and you got to leave your cell phone. You don't get to bring your cell phone in. No selfies in the Oval Office, apparently. And I'm thinking, you know, it was somebody that's wearing, you know, their suit. That suit, they think they look good in that suit, right?
The suit they wore when they were in Vegas for their wedding. they forgot
somebody's
about
somebody's wedding, the bachelor party, more like it. And they haven't worn that suit in a while. And they're going in the White House and they're like, oh my God, there's a bag of Texas booger sugar in my sport coat. And they throw it down with, you know, in the cell phone box, and now they're discovered. And now all the suspicion has fallen upon recovering addict Hunter Biden.
Ah, come on, man.
One of the Fox News people, I forget her name, a blonde, pretty, as they always are, said, you know, it's not really kind to blame this on a recovering addict. We don't want him to backslide. And everyone else on Fox is like, yeah, it's Hunter's. It's Hunter's coke.
Come on. I mean, a little from the reporting here from the Washington Post. Officials found cocaine on the ground floor of the White House on Sunday, near where visitors taking tours of the West Wing are instructed to leave their cell phones, according
to three people. Leave your cocaine here.
Familiar with the investigation, the Secret Service is investigating how the cocaine ended up at the White House after the discovery of the substance prompted a brief evacuation. A preliminary test indicated it was cocaine, and a final test has now concluded the material was cocaine. What do you do, a gummer? What's a preliminary test look like? Authorities are trying to find the person who left it. President Biden was at Camp David over the weekend and did not return to the White House until Tuesday morning for a series of events celebrating Independence Day.
So it's not the big guy's blow, probably.
It's not the big guy, probably. But he came back right away as soon as he heard. There is no indication that the cocaine's discovery disrupted White House operations in any way. White House staffers are authorized to give guest tours of the West Wing, which often occur at night or on weekends. Guests are required to go through security screening before entering the White House complex and then are asked to leave their cell phones in small boxes just before entering the West Wing.
Officials like going to a Dave Chappelle concert.
Officials said the substance was found near the boxes. On the tours, guests are shown the ground floor and the first floor of the West Wing, able to peek inside the Oval Office, the Cabinet Room, the Roosevelt Room, areas that tend to be a source of great interest for many visitors. A spokesman for the Secret Service has said previously the D.C. Fire Department determined the substance, which was found in a work area of the West Wing, did not present a threat, but he was up all night. He said investigation into the cause and manner of how the substance entered the White House is ongoing. Come on.
Now, when a former President Donald Trump on Wednesday suggested special counsel Jack Smith, the man prosecuting him for allegedly mishandling classified documents, is behind the cocaine that was recently discovered at the White House.
Of course.
The origin of the cocaine is being investigated by the Secret Service, but Trump suggests he already knows all the answers about the scandal. Trump initially said that everybody knows that the cocaine, which was found in the common area of the White House accessible to tour groups, belonged to Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden. Yeah. Here is a statement from Trump on the Truthy social. Does anybody really believe that the cocaine, all caps, as one does when they write cocaine, all caps, cocaine found in the West Wing of the White House, very close to the Oval Office, is for the use of anyone other than Hunter and Joe Biden? Joe Biden's 80, man. I don't think he's blasting bumps. I'm just saying. He then predicted the story will vanish because it implicates President Biden. But watch, the fake news media will soon start saying that the amount found was very small. And it wasn't really cocaine, but rather coming ground up aspirin, and what? The story will vanish. What? The twice indicted Republican candidate added. Then Trump took a turn away from his theory that the cocaine clearly belongs to the Bidens, saying instead it could belong to Smith.
Well, wait, what?
I thought special it was counselor.
Does anyone really believe it? I thought it was all about Hunter and the big guy. No, but now he's second guessing. Who's his other theory? Jack Smith?
The special counselor. Has deranged Jack Smith, the crazy Trump-hating special prosecutor, been seen in the area of the cocaine? Again, all caps. He looks like a crackhead to me.
Come on, man. Oh, just like a junior's, you know, feeds once in a while. They want to see someone that looks like a crackhead. Come on, Trump.
He's wide-eyed, small-pupiled, and bushy-tailed.
He's like, he talked cocaine. Like, hey, like a narc. Hey, do you have some cocaine I can buy from you? Cocaine!
It's a hell of a drug.
It's a hell of a drug.
Come back, Devil's Advocates. We're it's a hell of a drug.
First one's free, folks, but, you know, then you got to pay.
844-967-2789. Line them up. Now we'll knock them down.
All right. Do we know any coke dealers?
My cousin's a cokehead.
Oh, Don Jr.'s on coke.
And boom goes the dynamite.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The White House is responding now to reports that cocaine was found in the West Wing. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre says the Secret Service is investigating.
Where this was discovered is a heavily traveled area where many White House, West Wing, I should be even more specific, West Wing visitors come through this particular area.
Philadelphia's Mayor Jim Kenney has filed a lawsuit hoping to stop gun violence in the wake of that mass shooting that left five people dead. The suspect had a long rifle and a handgun.
Let this be a warning to these manufacturers. We are coming, and we will not stop until these weapons are eliminated from our streets.
The death toll from another mass shooting last night in Shreveport, Louisiana, is now four, and at least seven were injured. This man was there.
Once we heard the gunfire, I think everybody was just ducking, trying to hide and protect each other and just get out of there.
There have been no arrests made so far. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. There's a threat of storms today in the area. Brittany Merlot has more.
The skies of the nation were lit last night with fireworks, and now the skies of South Central and Eastern Wisconsin will be flashing with lightning and hear the booms of thunder arriving. Thunderstorms will fire up in Southern Wisconsin and stretch along a line into the Fox Valley and into Green Bay. They will continue to spread eastward into Milwaukee as well. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a slight risk for Southern Wisconsin along the state line, including Racine, Kenosha, Walworth, and Rock counties. Isolated storms will have the threat of large hail and damaging wind gusts. As the storm lines out, more widespread wind damage is possible near Lake Michigan.
A motorcyclist from Muskego died in Milwaukee last night after losing control and hitting the median. Police say the 39-year-old rider was speeding south on Chase when the accident occurred, resulting in his death at the scene. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly...
Warning! Listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Happier Happy Hour. Welcome back from the 4th of July. Some of you still on vacation, probably not even listening.
How dare you?
Not doing your patriotic duty.
All the patriots listen to the Devil's Advocates.
Where'd I put my phone? The Civic Media app. Now you can text us directly. It goes right to our phones. We can read them. Sometimes we do. Sometimes I lose my phone, and I don't know what the audience is texting to us at a particular moment, but oh, there it is. I just had to pat myself down. I had to frisk myself.
You have the right to remain silent, Crudy.
We will take your phone calls. You don't have to remain silent. 844-967-2789. Do you have something, buddy, or you want me to come back with some raw story?
Well, I think the fact that our governor from the great state of Wisconsin today, in signing the budget, Crudy, and here in the state of Wisconsin, this biannual budget, $99 billion, he made the raw story, Crudy.
He is the top of the raw story. Dom, that is a place of honor amongst the raw story aggregator clickbait. Bizarre veto triggers 400 years of funding for Wisconsin public schools. Bizarre. Not the most handsome picture of Tony Evers either. Purple tie. Sort of a sour, dour look on his face. I don't know why he just put over a 400-year sticking it to the Republicans for four centuries. Governor Tony Evers just secured 400 years of funding increases for Wisconsin public schools. We gave you the earlier reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by crossing out a tiny part of a line in a state budget sent to his desk. Specifically, Evers took out a section that authorized a funding increase for the 2024-25 school year and vetoed the digits 20 and the hyphen, along with a few of the words before and after, changing the bill. So it now says the funding increases are authorized through the year 2425. That's 400 years, Dom.
Wow.
The surprise move will ensure districts' state-imposed limits on how much revenue they are allowed to raise will be increased by $325 per student each year until 2425, creating a permanent annual stream of new revenue for public schools and potentially curbing a key debate between Democrats and Republicans during each state budget writing cycle. Evers told reporters at a press conference today at the Wisconsin State Capitol his action would provide school districts with predictable long-term increases for the foreseeable future. Now, Dom, some, including yours truly, had encouraged Tony Evers to veto the entirety of this budget.
As did I.
You were a late addition, but I think you bandwagoned at the end. Not Tony's call. But does this decision by the governor of the state of Wisconsin and the raw story worthiness of it, does this satisfy? Is this good enough, if you will, Dom?
Well,
and audience, you can participate. 844-967-2789. Call or text. Although I prefer when you use the app, then it comes to my phone, which I now have.
If you can find ready. It.
I've got my phone.
All right.
So, are you satisfied? Good enough.
You know, I guess good enough is really what I think.
Good as you're going to get.
It's good, and it is what it is, right? Here it is. Now we deal. Now we move on. Do I still think that was an opportunity to go to the mats against these Republicans? Absolutely. In this case, Tony's, I guess, the adult in the room. There's a reason he's the governor and I'm on the radio. But now here we are. So to be able to stick it to him to some degree, absolutely. Take off the top tier of the tax cuts of $3.5 billion the Republicans wanted to give the top two levels of tax breaks, and left in what $175 million for the lower levels, which Evers did leave in. As noted, I know some of the Republicans very upset that Governor Evers did this, and I think it was one of the local politicians here, Van Wangard, said, oh, $37, and we have a $7 billion surplus, and Evers gives you $37. And Evers' spokesperson, Britt Kudebeck, said, well, Evers actually proposed a 10% middle-class tax cut to provide $1.2 billion in tax relief for families, seniors, caregivers, parents, veterans, among others. And the Republicans, you rejected it and gave 11 filers, who make more than $75 million, an average of $1.8 million per year in a tax cut instead. Yes, I'm satisfied enough.
Texters have texted in from the 608. Tony did about as good a job, in this case it says, garnishing the turd sandwich the GOP made him as he could. Left some billions on the table for when we have a more accountable legislature.
Yeah.
Another one says, Evers shall henceforth be known as Stick It to Him, Tony.
Stick It to Him, Tony.
And another one asked me, I believe, when I was searching for my phone, have you checked your BH? I'm not sure what my BH is, but if I knew where my phone was,
you could
I would
look
have
it
seen
up.
That message earlier. And I might have looked it up, yes. Who is this guy? I think they're...
I'm talking about Scott Ross. That was our previous guest. Thank you, Scott Ross.
And
Fire
where
brand.
Can I get more of him?
Just got to tune in. We'll get Scott around more often. He's got more time for us now. We always appreciate it. Has lots to say. So, Crudy, you know, meh. You know, we do have to govern. We do have to move on. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, do things you don't want to do. I think Evers probably, short of vetoing the whole thing and making everybody work and come back with something better, you know, was the adult in the room and signed the deal. So what do you think?
Well, he stuck it to him. So I like it a little bit. I mean, that's got to sting a little for Robin Voss. 4 centuries worth of increased funding for the kids. What's Robin Voss going to do? He's going to have to literally go back and cut funding every year purposefully to offset the, you know, perpetuity increases that Evers has baked into the cake until 2425. So when you can stick it to Robin Voss and by extension, the Senate Majority Leader, LeMay, how do you say it?
LeMahieu.
That guy.
Just a little background on here again from the Raw story. Congratulations, Governor Evers, making the top of the Raw story. Talking about the line item vetoes, allowing governors to approve bills as a whole, but veto specific lines they don't approve of, a practice often used to block funding for a specific program or prevent a specific tax cut or increase. But in Wisconsin, the line item veto power is taken to the extreme. Thanks to the extremely broad way the power was written in the state constitution in 1930, the governor can cross out not just lines, but specific words, numbers, and punctuation, effectively allowing them to rewrite the bill to mean something completely different. In 1973, Governor Patrick Lucey made an appropriations bill do the exact opposite of the legislature's intent by vetoing the word not from the phrase not less than 50%. Voters have passed referendums limiting this power, some prohibiting the governor from vetoing letters from words to change them into new words or creating new sentences by attaching the first half of a sentence to the second half of another. However, Wisconsin's line item veto still allows the governor to delete words within a sentence, even if it changes the meaning. So, and that's exactly what Tony Evers did. Struck out a 20 and a dash, and now we have funding increases for our public schools. Of course, Evers, a former educator and director of a superintendent of the schools here in the state of Wisconsin, has done right by the public instructions.
Sorry, I just realized BH stands for, you know, did you check your butt, basically.
Behind?
Well, there's another word.
Okay.
I don't link them together on the radio, you know.
You don't use the Evers veto power. All right, so there we go. National news, well done, Tony Evers, 844-967-2789. If you can't get everything you want, stick it to him. It makes it a little better.
Mark from SAC. Welcome back, Mark. What do you think of Tony's 400 years sticking it to Robin Voss? That one's going to hurt for the next 5 or 8 generations of Vosses.
Well, it's too bad he couldn't have for 25. Because that one would be in line with the song from back in the 70s there, that in the year 2525, I don't know if you're familiar, but yeah, I think it's the best you could do. I mean, all you could do is try to fight back against these Republicans because they're just horrible, horrible people. And you're talking about the student loan forgiveness a little bit earlier in the program. That it was $757 billion that the PPP loans in forgiveness that they gave. So that's twice as much as the student loan forgiveness. I didn't notice a hue and cry from the Republicans about that forgiveness.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, and all those people, Mark, they as our previous guest mentioned, they voluntarily go into business. They took on the risk and they reap the reward of being in business. They don't have to do that. They could have closed their business, right? Well, what did we do? As a society, through our government, we the people decided that we're going to try to, I don't know, blunt the effect of the pandemic. And everybody was down, man. I mean, everybody, including Robin Voss and all these Republicans, they got their hands out and they took that money. They cashed those checks and they accepted the forgiveness without so much as a second thought.
Well, they didn't even have to demonstrate need, just employees. Need wasn't a criterion.
Yeah.
Just do you have employees that you could retain with this money? Well,
yes, I do. Yes, I do. Thanks for the call, Mark. 844-967-2789.
Dom, as I was prepping for the show today, you know, occasionally you look for relevant dates in history. And today, oddly, is an important day in history. Do you know what was rolled out today? What consumer product?
A consumer product?
Yes.
What year?
1937. It's been served 9 billion times.
The McDonald's hamburger?
No. Not even close. Billions and billions here. Way billions more than 9 billion.
All right. That's all I got, man. What do you got?
Spam.
Spam?
Spam. Over 9 billion cans of Spam have been sold since its launch. Spam was introduced today, like 74 years ago. Spam. It's what's for dinner now.
It's got a whole new meaning now.
Have you? When's the last time you ate Spam? Ever? And do you know the ingredients in Spam?
Spam.
Pork.
Spam, 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 Spam.
Pork with ham. Salt. Water.
Wait, pork with ham? Isn't pork ham? why are you differentiating between the pork and the ham?
Well,
like lips and hooves and ham, pork? I mean, what are we talking about?
Pork with ham, salt, you can definitely taste the salt, the saltiness, water, potato starch, sugar, and sodium nitrate. Is that MSG?
Breakfast of champions.
Spam has a relatively simple conventional production process, according to its website. First, pork and ham are pre-ground, then salt and sugar and the rest of the ingredients are added and mixed to reach the desired temperature. I didn't know it was about a temperature. They put it in the cans and then they cook it. It's cooked in the can for your dining pleasure.
For clarity's sake, and I didn't know, so I had to quick look it up. Apparently, pork is a cut of meat from a domesticated pig in its raw form, while ham is a specific cut of pork from the pig's hind legs. So, yeah, you get some of the hind leg, and then you get some pork. It could be from any other part, but what do we know? It's as long as we're telling you it's pork and ham.
It's pork parts.
It's pork parts.
You know who ate a lot of Spam? Our armed services. You know, as we celebrate the 4th of July, once you've served your nation and you've eaten that Spam.
I mean, they used to give cigarettes away, too. I don't think they do that anymore, right? Did you have Spam in your MREs?
Spam fed a nation, Dom. No, our MREs, I would have gladly traded our meals ready to eat for a can of Spam. Because you can work with Spam, man. It's a little salty. It's a little tough, but you can work with it. Those MREs, you need half a canteen of water just to make them palatable. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. More Spam stories. Yours could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
If you're searching for top-notch electrical service for your commercial or industrial property, connect with Current Electric in Wauwatosa. Current Electric offers a wide array of electrical services to clients in Milwaukee and the surrounding areas. Celebrating 40 years of energizing and illuminating lives in southeastern Wisconsin, their dedicated team of superheroes can help with everything from parking lot lighting upgrades to office and business LED conversions, EV chargers to service upgrades. Call 262-295-2815 or log on to callcurrent.com.
This This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows around 63, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 76, tomorrow mainly cloudy skies. Lows around 54, tomorrow night mainly clear. Temps below average Friday and Saturday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered showers Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
In the year 2525,
the Devil's Advocates,
if
making radio great again.
If woman can survive.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. 844-967-2789 at long distance dedication. Going out to Mark Evan. Well done, sir. 25-25 is almost as long as the Evers budget for education has going to go for. Four
funding
centuries.
Increases for 400 consecutive years.
Well done, Governor.
Dominic, you know, I often parallel and analogize the soon-to-be-failed presidential campaign of Ron DeSantis with that of the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin, the wanker, Scott Walker.
Yes.
Well, I see another parallel. Remember when Scott Walker came out at the Iowa Freedom Summit?
Yes.
And he came out to, what, Dropkick Murphys?
Shipping up to Boston, rolled up his sleeves, took off his suit coat, and was very engaging.
And told some fictional stories about the, you know, the 100,000 protesters and how he stood them down.
Yeah,
very courageously in the rat tunnels.
If he can take care of 100,000 protesters, he can do the same with ISIS.
Well, here's the newest parallel between the wanker and Ron DeSanctimonious, the production team behind the popular Peaky Blinders television show. Said Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' presidential campaign did not have permission to use clips from its hit drama in a video ad published last month. The video hits former President Trump for pledging to support LGBTQ people and celebrates news headlines that describe as draconian laws DeSantis signed affecting LGBTQ people. What a strange sense of pride. My laws are draconian. Let's run an ad. The video was heavily criticized as anti-LGBTQ, including by conservative LGBTQ people. The Peaky Blinders production team denounced DeSantis' messaging in a tweet on Wednesday. We do not support nor endorse the video's narrative and strongly disapprove of its use of the content in this matter. I wish they would have added, Ron DeSantis, we literally hate you.
As the Dropkick Murphys did when they tweeted out at Scott Walker, we literally hate you.
The video includes clips of various television programs and films from Christian Bale playing a serial killer in American Psycho to Murphy as the gangster Tommy Shelby in Peaky Blinders. Also featured are a set of Photoshop Chad stock photos of ultra buff, hyper masculine men popular in right wing online circles to represent agreeable viewpoints. Seems sort of gay to me, Dom.
Didn't Buttigieg have some smarmy comments about DeSantis putting himself in the middle of a couple of greased up buff men? I believe he did. Buttigieg's a pretty smart dude.
The video was shared Friday, the last day of LGBTQ Pride Month, by the DeSantis War Room Twitter account. It was originally posted by @ProudElephantUS, a pro-DeSantis Twitter account. So he's, what, grabbing up the super PAC stuff and reusing it, Dom? Here, I'll put it out there and then you send it back to me. It'll be great. This guy, I've heard, Ron DeSantis, some consultants are suggesting he leave the campaign trail before his campaign crashes and burns worse. No, it's being suggested he represent with surrogates. Have his wife go out to the early states.
Right.
New Hampshire.
Let someone else go out and be your face, be the messenger, because you are terrible at it.
Because you are literally a really, really bad politician. Now, Jeb Bush, you remember Jeb, highly funded Floridian.
Please clap.
Didn't go over very well. But I really think DeSantis is more of a Scott Walker character because he wants it so badly. And I think his wife wants it worse than he wants. Now, I never saw that attributed to Tonette Walker, but this Casey DeSantis, she's the woman behind the stiff because he's a stiff, Dom.
He's terrible.
We got to go see him in like August. Oh. In Iowa. If he's still in it.
If he's still in it, you think he makes it to August and the debate? I mean,
that's next month, dude.
It's next month, dude. Right.
But the Iowa State Fair next month. I think we sneak into Iowa, Dom. Go see Ron DeSantis up close and personal. Bring Pizza Box Mike and hold up some protest signs.
Better leave your drugs at the White House, man. It's Iowa. 844-967-2789. Crudy, some polling out today. Let's throw that out there. Biden job approval from economist YouGov polling. Approve 40, disapprove 55, underwater by 15. But here's an interesting one. 2024 generic congressional vote. Dems 41, Republicans 39, Dems up 2. So anytime
needs to be more than that.
Anytime you hear any of the Republicans talking about, well, you know, Joe Biden, he's so unpopular and all these other issues. Well, just remind them, congressional job approval numbers, according to economist YouGov, approve 17, disapprove 62. Congress has a 17% approval rating. They're underwater by 45 points. That's just terrible.
I cannot believe the conduct of our audience.
I know.
Shaking a fist, perhaps even mooning you, Dom, while you're trying to give this very salient and cogent point.
Very, very
cogent. What were you talking about?
Congressional job approval. 17, dude. 17. I think herpes score is higher than that. It's just so bad. The last DeSantis number I'm seeing, at least in the state of Ohio from Friday.
Yes.
East Carolina U, Trump at 59, DeSantis at 15, Pence at 5, Christie 4.
Trump.
Trump's up 44 Pence, there. Pence. And last week, Thursday, I believe we talked of the RNC, a Fox News poll, Trump up 34, 56 to 22, Pence at 4, everyone else behind.
Do you see the very popular position Mike Pence took today? Said it aloud. He's not down for making rich people pay their fair share of taxes.
Well, I guess it's all depends on what you mean by fair share, right? Well, that's a relative term, Michael.
He said that aloud. Like, I don't believe in making rich people pay their fair share.
Well, however it's defined. You're right.
That is not a campaign ad you want to go into the general election with. I'm just saying you might have made a verbal faux pas, sir.
But at least he was probably telling the truth.
Nah, he's not going to make it through. Hell, Mike Pence? Really, whose idea of a good idea is
well,
Mike
Pence's candidacy? Well, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, as we sit here and debate and wonder what's going to go down, how's this is going to go, you know, Trump has lots of headwinds, as we always talk about. But when you're up 44, 34, and, you know, you're trailing DeSantis at 22, maybe 15, everybody else behind him. I mean, if Trump's taken off the table, what's going on with the GOP, man? Who comes out of that rat race?
Nothing's off the table. Folks, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed your hump day. We're going to do it again tomorrow, and then Friday we're going to end up in Green Bay partying on the city deck at our WGBD GBW location. Look forward to that. Stick around, Maggie Dawn. You can look forward to her fine program The Maggie Dawn Show is next. And then the Paul Revere Show. Don't forget, that's hosted by Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson, our recent guest. Mark may have a few opinions about the Megan Wolf treatment. Tune in at 7. Keep it locked right here. Civic Media, that's what the Patriots do.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.